following program contains adult language and spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Tonight on the Marvel Super Heroes podcast, Quiet Storm Edition, Diablo Frank, Illegal Machine, and Mr. Joe Fixit present the top 10 lists for Avengers lovers.
Longbox Graveyard, Top 10 Super Dogs. The Unspoken Decade, Top 10 Avengers Moments. In my not-so-humble opinion, Top 10 Avengers Sketches. Legion of Super Bloggers, Top 10 Who's Who Legion Entries. The Superhero Satellite, Top 10 Canceled 80s Comics Titles / Characters. Flodo's Page, Top 10 Green Lantern Ring Slings That Don't Appear in Modern Continuity. Fantastiverse, Top 10 Avengers Greatest Super Battles. Mystery Vlog, Top 10 Avengers Covers. The Idlehead of Diablo. Top 10 Important Martian Manhunter Villains. Most Important Martian... God damn it. The Top 10 Most Important Martian Manhunter Villains. Marvel Super Heroes Podcast. Top 10 Avengers Age of Ultron Tie-In.
You don't have to read ours.
That's us.
You're in that right now.
I am in it right now. Chasing Amazing Top 10. If you're listening
the
to this
Marvel
right now,
Superheroes
you know it.
Podcast has you.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, you already know what our Top 10 is. Chasing Amazing, Top 10 Favorite Moments of The Chase. Between the Pages, Top 10 Wackiest DC Comics Covers. Bronze Age Babies, the Top 10 Bronze Age Characters. ×2! Exclamation point.
Yeah, they're going to do, the guy is going to list the Top 10 Girls, and the girl is going to list the Top 10 Guys of the two hosts.
Oh, cool.
There's more.
But wait.
There's more.
Too Dangerous for a Girl, TBC.
Yeah, those haven't been decided yet.
Vic Sage via The Retroist, TBD. I'm the Gun. The 10 best All-Star Squadron covers. I'm a Legal Machine.
Mr. Fix-It.
Diablo Frank. We've all taken part in the 6th edition of the Super Blog Team-Up, wherein comic book-related bloggers, podcasters, YouTubers, all that kind of thing, they all get together and they pick a topic and you riff on that topic. And this time, it's top 10 lists. So in order to give people an opportunity to enjoy our show before the spoilers come out, we're going to have to rip out a quick top 10 list. So, Illegal Machine, how long have you been an Avengers fan?
Long time.
What is the oldest Avengers comic you own?
First appearance of Baron Zemo.
So that's
Avengers,
like 14 or 15, right?
Yeah.
Because that was like the debut of the Masters of Evil as well, wasn't it?
Correct.
And what is the most recent issue of Avengers you own? Most likely bought from my shop before I closed it down years ago.
It would have been Buziak Perez era.
Was Perez still on the book or had he already moved on by then?
I think he was still on the book.
Really?
I who took over after? Who followed
Alan Davis did it for a little bit.
Oh, I don't have any Alan Davis shit.
And then Kieron Dwyer, I think, finished out the Buzik run.
No.
Okay.
It's
so
Perez.
So you've got a pretty good span of years there where you read from the early 60s issues through until the early aughts issues.
Give or take, yeah. My Avengers collection is by no means complete. So although I do have some old and I do have a lot of new and I have a chunk in the middle.
It's gappy.
It's gappy. Gappy's the word I was looking for.
But you're enough of a Avengers fan that if I asked you to bust out with a top 10 Avengers list right this minute, you could do that.
Like Avenger issues?
No, actual characters. Members of the Avengers, a top 10 list.
Absolutely.
The least to the greatest of the greatest.
All right, so we're going to... this list is not character. These are best Avengers.
Right, so it's not like your favorite character. Right. It's who works the best within the context of an Avengers team.
Okay. Number one?
Wait, is that your number one or your number 10?
Number 10.
You're going to start from your best and work your way to the least best?
I feel it's
best?
Easier to work best to least best.
Okay.
Although that's not dramatic.
It's still a top 10. It doesn't matter which order you're going in. And by the way, if you do listen to the entire episode, all three of us will be offering top 10 lists throughout the episode. But we're going to start with the old Mac here.
I'm going to go number one, Captain America. Number two, Wasp. Number three...
Well, I'd like you to explain Wasp.
No, this... Wasp?
Yeah.
One of my favorite runs was the Roger Stern, John Buscema era, where she was dope as shit. That was when she first led the team and everything. So, like Wasp. See, Wasp's cool.
It's interesting to kind of get so specific with you here, because for years I didn't know how big of a fan you were of Hawkeye, and you just named Wasp as your number two Avenger. I never would have seen that coming. I mean, you ranked Wasp above Iron Man as an Avenger.
Yeah. Well, Iron Man's relationship with the Avengers has always been weirder than other characters. You figure anytime he's in the book, he should be the leader, and he really only led the Avengers a couple times. And even then, sometimes led, quote-unquote, is a little murky.
Didn't we already do this?
No.
No.
I thought you did this when we were driving.
No, I talked to you about it, and then you didn't really have a lot to say, so. No,
just seemed very familiar territory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so who am I so far?
You've got Captain America, which needs no explanation.
Because he's Captain America. Captain America.
And then the Wasp is number two.
Okay. I'll go. I'll go Hawkeye 3, Vision 4, Iron Man 5, Ant-Man 6.
Which Ant-Man?
Hank Pym.
Because did you ever read Thor much 7. With Scott Lang or any of the other Ant-Men?
Just as when he'd pop into the late and Iron Man stuff.
Okay, so but you don't know him as an Avenger then?
No. Thor 7.
Well, okay, hold on. So we've got Captain America, Wasp, Hawkeye. And why is Hawkeye that high up?
I think all of Hawkeye's perennial moments have been Avengers moments.
Okay, so you're saying that the character is defined as an Avenger.
He's Avenger first, solo character second.
Okay, and then your fifth was what, Vision?
Yeah.
Because he's just there all the time. He's great.
Right. Because he was born into the Avengers and never really had any success out of it, but always seemed to be a mainstay.
Now, and why is the Vision better than Iron Man?
For that, well, like I said, I think Vision has probably had way longer runs in Avengers than Iron Man ever did.
Yeah. Collectively, most likely.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
Iron Man's been on the team a lot since the 2000s, because once Perez and Buzik did their
run. Got the big three back together.
And they tended to pop up a lot more often. Plus, the movies have helped to reinforce that.
Sure.
So, and Vision has been out of the Avengers for much of the aughts.
Word?
Yeah, he left the book in Avengers 500. He was destroyed, actually, in a story arc called Avengers Disassembled, where Scarlet Witch went nuts and caused this incredible chaos field to go out, and like everybody who ever wanted to fight the Avengers all fought them all at once, and I think Ultron had taken over the Vision and caused them to explode, or some crud like that. But Vision was, quote-unquote, dead for a number of years, and then he came back in a new form as one of the young Avengers, and he's kind of come and gone a few times since then, but he's still not really an Avengers mainstay. It hasn't been for most of the last 15 years, actually.
Interesting. So, what was that? Who was six?
Yeah, six was Iron Man.
Six was Iron Man. Seven was Thor.
Okay, yeah, I forgot the Thor. So, and why is Thor so low?
Because he's Thor.
Just because you...
Well, the problem with Thor in the Avengers is that he can only be there for very specific storylines because he's fucking Thor.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's like
he comes and goes so much going, you know what? I'm a fucking god. I shouldn't be hanging around here. And he jets so many different times.
Yeah, when we talked about, you know, that story arc where Hellcat briefly joined the Avengers, one of the sticking points was that Thor quit the book at the end of that Hellcat story arc because he realized he'd been pulling his punches so long that he had forgotten how to access his full godhood.
Eight, let's go Scarlet Witch.
And why Scarlet Witch?
I feel like Scarlet Witch is, when I think of her, I think Avenger. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it may be because of West Coast and Avengers West Coast, but...
Yeah. And she's a lot lower than the Vision, even though those two tend to be coupled up.
Yeah.
So is there a reason why she's so much lower than the Vision?
She's only so much lower than the Vision because I put Iron Man and Thor ahead of her.
Yeah.
And really, probably, I would... You know what? I'd probably put her ahead of Thor. I'd probably put her... Shit, you know what? Thor's a plummet, and now that I'm thinking about it. So we're going to do... 5, Vision. 6, Iron Man. 7, Scarlet Witch. 8, Black Widow.
Really? Black Widow?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a dark horse, no pun intended.
Well, because she had a long run, I believe, as leader of the team during all of that, not the Crossing. Well, yeah, she was there during the Crossing shit.
She was there. I don't think she was leading the team at that time.
What was before that, where they were wearing the dope brown jackets?
Oh, the bomber jackets. Yeah. You're talking about the Bob Harris run.
Right. The whole Bob Harris run, she was very, very key in that run, wasn't she?
Well, she... I don't remember her as much. I actually think it was predated that. When there was that run where Paul Ryan was drawing the book for a long while, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And you had a number of guys like John Byrne and Mark Gruenwald writing it. I think she was around during that period, right?
What about when What's-His-Fuck was drawing it?
Steve Epting. Yeah. She was around for that.
She was around for the
Mike Deodato issues as well. The first time Mike Deodato drew the Avengers, he draws Avengers a lot. He's drawing,
he really?
He's done them a lot over the last 15 years. Yeah. It's like we talked about the Dark Avengers a while back, and he drew a lot of that run. It is somewhat notable because he kept drawing Norman Osborn to look like Tommy Lee Jones.
His shit fell off the fucking cliff when he started doing Hulk. Has he ever come back?
Yeah. He's much stronger now than he was then. Yeah,
I felt like he was half-assing it and spending too much time with his Mike Deodato Studios guys.
That's exactly the problem, is I think that his studio was drawing too much of his stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
And there was too much variance in quality. I mean, when the anatomy gets different from book to book, you know that there's got to be something going on.
And then, now I need 10, right?
Actually, arguably, Mike Deodato is like the John Buscema of the aughts.
Get the hell out
of here,
dude.
He's done that much Avengers content, yeah.
We're about to fight.
No, I'm just saying in terms of him being like the guy who draws the book for years and years and years.
All right.
I mean, he's probably, in his career at this point, he's probably best known as an Avengers artist because he's done books for so long.
Dude.
He drew a substantial amount of the Brian Michael Bendis run. But honestly, he did Dark Avengers. He did a lot of Avengers-related stuff over these last 15 years.
All right, and then I'm going to round out my list with... It's going to be a tie.
Thor, isn't
10?
It?
No, he's 9.
Okay, so Black Widow was 8, and the Thor's 9. Is that right?
And then 10 is going to be a 3-way tie.
Okay.
Hulk, U.S. Agent, and Wonder Man, and we're not going to discuss 10.
No, we are totally going to discuss 10.
Nope.
I want you to explain U.S. Agent.
Because he was such a big deal with the West Coast Avengers. And then
he was such a good mixer, right?
And then he carried into Forceworks, too, and he was such a dick in that book.
So you liked him because he was...
He took over for Hawkeye. U.S. Agent and Hawkeye were basically the same guy.
Right. Well, because we've talked about this in the past. My exposure to Hawkeye was different than yours because I knew him as the leader of the West Coast Avengers. So he was sort of like the other Captain America because he was a much more responsible, less dickish guy when I was reading his appearances. And then U.S. Agent, of course, is the guy Gardner of the West Coast Avengers.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Right. And I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah. Because it's not just a matter of, like you said, Hawkeye was the Wolverine of the Avengers, but Guy Gardner takes it to a whole other level where like nobody likes him, nobody respects him, he's barely tolerated, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and really for me, whenever I think U.S. Agent, I don't think Captain America. When I think U.S. Agent, I think West Coast Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
I think Avenger. Same with Wonder Man. Even though he's Wonder Man, everybody fucking caps on Wonder Man. That was a big chunk of my era has Wonder Man all in it.
Well, again, Forceworks, he was one of the guys in there. Wait, did he die early in the Forceworks?
Yeah,
and that would
have
like the first issue or something?
Yeah.
Okay, but he was almost throughout the entirety of Avengers West Coast, right?
Yeah.
For me, that's one of the defining characteristics of the guy. Plus, for some random reason, I had the Wonder Man special that came out in the mid-80s with, of all things, I think Bill Sienkiewicz did the cover to the Wonder Man special.
A Wonder Man Sienkiewicz?
And I don't know who the artist was on the interiors, but that was back when he was still wearing the stupid vest.
Yeah.
Not like a vest, that poofy like director's jacket, and the sunglasses and stuff. So he was such a cheeseball character, but because you wanted the West Coast Avengers to look like they were on the West Coast, and Wonder Man was always really good about that. Plus, the Gerard Jones, Jeff Johnson series was really good about integrating him as both a superhero and a movie actor / stuntman type guy.
So if I was going to cast today Wonder Man, a Wonder Man movie.
Sure.
It's The Rock.
No.
Yes, it's The Rock.
No, really?
Yeah, he's so fucking cheeseball, it's got to be The Rock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he would look a lot better. He'd look a lot better in those muscle shirts he was wearing.
Or what's his fuck.
Okay, you're going to have to be a little bit more specific.
Oh, shit. The dude from 21 Jump Street and 22 Jump Street.
Oh, Channing Tatum?
Channing Tatum.
Channing
as
Tatum.
As Wonder Man. Oh my God, I would hate that movie.
You know he's playing Gambit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, which is, I think, perfect.
And
I
then, that could be pretty... except he's going to have to do an accent, and it's going to be the worst fucking movie ever.
But that's the thing. Do you really want a legit Cajun accent from Gambit, or do you want it to be a ridiculous, over-the-top stereotype?
I don't know.
I lean toward the latter.
I lean towards don't make him Cajun.
Macher?
No, stop it.
He's got to have the fucking accent. He's got to have it.
No. And then Hulk, just because Hulk's an Avenger, but Hulk's not an Avenger.
I wasn't going to ask you about the Hulk. I know he's the founder, and he's one of the iconic Marvel heroes, and blah, blah, blah.
And then we got plenty of, could probably crack the list, depending on my day, your Miss Marvels, your Captain Marvels, your Black Panthers.
Yeah, depending on run, who's handling them. Yeah.
Right. I like Hercules a lot, because he was in that Buscema run.
Mm-hmm. I actually, as an Avenger, I like Hercules better than Thor.
I can totally see that.
He just fits in better.
I can totally see that, yeah, for sure.
But only with the beard. I hate it when he was rocking the long hair with a clean shaven
'90s.
That was not a good look.
Mike Ditko Jr.
He did that. Yeah, well, actually, he did a special Peter David. Yeah, where they really showed how far Hercules had fallen by having Hulk just own
him.
Got
absolutely trashed by Incredible Hulks.
By the way, I just want to say, fuck Mr. Fix-It, because we're actually talking about the Hulk, and this cocksucker ain't even paying attention to what we're doing.
Dumbass list. I'm sitting there. I'm trying to make up a list in my head because I haven't really read
it. No,
your list is different.
Your list is going to be different. All three of us are going to have different lists.
Oh, okay. I thought that's what it was. So I was sitting there. I was like, fuck, I don't even know that many Avengers.
Trust me. Yours is going to be cool. Okay. You'll be fine. You'll be good.
Kalibak to Zod. It is I, Darkseid. I command you to listen to the Who's Who podcast. Uncover the powers and weaknesses of the Super Friends so that I may destroy them.
Aquaman and Superman, Animal Man and Plastic Man, Firestorm and Nuclear Man, Batman and Hawkman, 2D Man and Hour Man.
Who are all these people, man?
They're all part of the DC Who's Who. Ultra Boy and Booster Gold, Lightning Lass and Hippolyta, Phantom Stranger, Etric and Arisia, and Woody Winks.
Hey, hey.
What?
What about that one guy?
What guy?
Mr. Pretzel, Mr. Lipstick, Mr. Mitzelfuzzle?
Mr. Mitzi's Pitlick?
Yeah, him.
He's also part of the DC Who's Who.
Who's Who, the definitive podcast of the DC Universe.
Available monthly at Aquaman Shrine, Firestorm Fan, and on iTunes and Stitcher as part of the Fire and Water podcast.
That was for our brief intermission.
Okay, so that's the end of our... And did you have any comments on his top 10 list?
No, I mean, he...
Is there anybody you felt like he missed that should have been on the top 10 Avengers list that you felt got slighted? Yeah, I like Beast.
Beast is right up there.
Especially when Perez was drawing him.
Yeah, I always thought... I like Beast.
And it's got to be the blue furry Beast, none of this other bullshit version they
had. And then, I guess, another Avenger that... Because there were so many. I remember you did that list, and it just went on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
But I always liked Beast, and I thought another good Avenger... I think U.S. Agent was a good pick. I would have never thought of that one. That was a good pick.
Really date myself.
Yeah, you're definitely a child of the 90s if you're bringing up freaking U.S. Agent.
And Wonder Man.
No, 80s. He was pretty hardcore in the 80s. I don't even know that he was that relevant in the 90s because he had a big comeback in the aughts.
If you and I don't really know. Honestly, that top 10 list, I don't know if that's best Avengers. I don't know. That's just sort of ranking
my... Putting you on the spot, that's okay. What you came up with. It's interesting. Yeah. So.
I always liked, what was it, Black Knight?
Yeah, I liked Black Knight,
Black Knight was good, too. Good in that Buscema run.
Yeah.
And I liked him. He was one of the highlights of the Bob Harris, Steve Epting years as well. I hated that he was running around with the stupid lightsaber.
The plasma sword, yeah.
But I liked how integral he was to the story of the Gatherers and how he was the most compromised Avenger and his relationship with Cersei was cool. So it was a highlight of that period. It wasn't a well-loved period, but that was kind of like the only time I really read Avengers besides Buzik. Perez.
I remember.
Yeah, honestly, I think probably Black Knight and Vision were probably two of the main characters that whole run, right?
Yeah.
Seemed like everything probably revolved around those two.
I don't even know the Vision as much, really. It was really
Milky White Vision.
Yeah,
man.
You think?
Yeah.
Maybe. He had the. I got to say this, too. I think that Steve Epting's Vision costume from that time period, when they switched him from the white to the sleeker, more modified red, green, yellow suit, I think that's his best suit.
I don't know if I'm not remembering it.
It's the one where it's basically.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. I'm trying to think. Any other...
Who, since you've read more recent Avengers issues, who would you have taken out of my shitty list and put in somebody like, dude, in the last 5 years, in the Bendis run, or something like that?
Well, no. I mean, okay, if we're going to go there, actually, I enjoyed the Dark Avengers the best. I liked when they had Bullseye as the Hawkeye, Wolverine's bastard kid. What was he? I'm trying to remember who else was in the Dark Avengers. You had Venom. I mean, that was kind of a cool...
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
I just like
that.
I don't want to hear about Venom being...
Well, no, but see, he did Venom the right way.
Sure.
He wasn't this, goofy chasing Spider-Man thing. I mean, they were feeding him Skrulls after the Skrull War. They would take a Skrull under to feed him just to keep him fed. And he was... I don't know. I've always liked Bullseye. I always thought Bullseye was a cool character. And it was nice to see him.
Hey, I think you're a cool character.
You too, Matt. Oh, right back at you.
That was good.
But Geoff Johns' run was pretty good. I enjoyed that.
I like the Geoff Johns' run a lot. I really think that's underrated.
So who were big in the... Who was...
He mostly just carried over the same guys that Buzik had with the addition of, I think,
Scott
Lang.
Well, he
Scott
kept the core, didn't he? He kept the core Avengers.
Yeah, he kept most of those guys, but he added the Scott Lang Ant-Man, and T'Challa was in it a lot more.
Black Panther.
And Jack of Hearts was the big one where it's like, this guy? But he was pretty cool in that run.
Yeah, actually. He was pretty cool in that one.
But they made a big deal about that because Geoff Johns was used to writing for DC back when that was a good thing, and Marvel was very big on the decompression. So there was complaints, or at least it was an apocryphal story where he'd submit a script and Marvel would cut that script in half and do one issue's worth of script would be two issues published because of Marvel's decompression, how they liked their scripts to be written.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good run, though.
Scene where Wasp is laying down and Ant-Man is crawling up the sheets after coitus.
He was all damp.
Yeah, he was all damp.
He was moist.
Well, that was when they started kind of doing cool shit with the villain, too, because Whirlwind ends up going to, a whorehouse and beating up a...
No, that was Mark Miller in...
Because
he was Whirlwind. He was beating up prostitutes to look like Janet Van Dyne,
and I remember thinking, wow, Whirlwind, really? Like... The dude that looked like, Iron Man's bastard son in a green helmet, and he's beating on a chick.
He looked like the dildo from Seven. That's what Wolverine looks like.
Oh, no, dude, don't.
I fucked her.
Oh, edit all this out, dude. No.
No, it stays in.
Seven is the worst,
it
stays dude. In. Seven is
to me. To me.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
And what'd you do? I fucked her.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Don't go see Seven ever.
That was a great movie. But I remember, like, his run was, and maybe you'll know this because Frank knows those shit like crazy. The first half of his run, because he broke it into two trades. The first half felt really cool.
John's,
and,
right?
John's, yeah.
Okay.
And then the second one felt, I don't know, not so much him anymore. It kind of lost steam. I know he does that.
I think he was trying to write for Marvel, and it may not have been his forte, but I thought there was some good stuff on the latter half.
When he did The Thing, and that was pretty good, and he did Vision, those little short four issues, and they were
pretty good. I don't think I read The Thing one. I read The Vision one. I wasn't very impressed with it. I think that's the first time he worked with Ivan Reis, who he formed a really strong long-term creative collaboration with.
I was going to say something, I forgot it.
But that's probably the... The only other run I can think of is a Perez and Buziak run. I remember, because it's Perez. He's a god.
Warbird and all this. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an old joke. Frank doesn't pronounce it thesaurus. He pronounces it thesaurus.
Thesaurus?
And when I asked him, what the fuck is a thesaurus? He's like, I don't believe in saying it thesaurus. It sounds like a goddamn dinosaur.
Free friends.
Come, my baby.
The world is not right.
The movie Two Planets comes out.
Too many topics.
Please, I like Galvatron.
It's just so much been there, done that.
Super cookie-cutter hip-hop with it.
One podcast.
The lead singer of Nickelback doesn't have demons.
He gave away his heart.
Zero fucks given.
How sad is it that Axl Rose didn't kill himself for OD?
Django. Django.
Django.
Where did the plastic stop and the human flesh start?
Oh, no.
Tanya, you're close. We're going to kick you out of the podcast.
Your old fine podcast.
I mean, it's just so well done.
So just because people around you laugh doesn't mean that it was good in the movie. No offense to the people around you, but we had a lady next to me who had like 17 orgasms during the movie. In the trailer, when fucking Paul Blart and Adam Sandler were on the screen for that Pixel movie, yeah. I thought that she was having a crisis. Like, so she thought she loved everything about it. So, but she's not on the fucking podcast.
By the way, since you're bringing up the trailers, I just want to say I'm not going to talk shit about Fantastic Four anymore. I actually did like that trailer, and I want to get a chance to watch
it. Yeah, I'm kind of interested in it.
Welcome to my side. Thank you.
Well, the other thing, too, is I didn't like how the early teasers made it seem like they were ashamed of being a comic book movie. And this most recent trailer introduces those characters. And now they're getting to the characters. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with those characters.
And did we totally call Sue Storm adopted? I want to say in one of our early...
I'm not sure about
we're
that.
We're like, how the hell is Johnny Storm black? How are they still brother and sisters? And I was like, maybe she's adopted.
Possible, I think she might be. I don't know. Milan.
No, she is. I think we made
no, she. I believe joke. She's the adopted one.
Yeah. Right.
Johnny Storm's dad is the guy who's the head of the organization.
I saw the trailer.
Yeah. Okay.
The only thing I was disappointed.
Holy shit.
Well, the only thing I was disappointed was there was no Star Wars trailer.
That's surprising, actually.
I was very surprised, but when you think about it, it is still way out.
But I would have figured they would have dropped something. Something.
Yeah, no,
if it's already on the internet, why wouldn't you?
Like, you have this.
Well, they showed
form.
It in theaters.
Actually, you know what it might
Remember,
have been
you
a problem?
You can go in and sit down and watch
it. This would be like putting a nuclear bomb on top of a gas can next to dynamite. Like, you would have just blown it up so much more.
Yeah.
Hold on. I just thought of something, though.
This is what would have happened.
Yeah.
As the kids say, people would have been turnt. It would get people turnt, T-U-R-N-T.
Yeah, I'm out of the loop. Fuck, I'm old. You have to explain that.
You'd get turnt.
Okay, here's my theory.
It sounds like something you clear up with penicillin, but okay.
My theory is Avengers has been out for a week or two in other markets. They only released the Star Wars trailer because they knew somebody at Celebration was going to leak some cell phone footage. So they probably didn't have it on these prints because they weren't going to release it necessarily. And certainly they didn't want to have it released weeks early in the international markets.
I don't think there's any reason behind it. I think they just fucked up.
Yeah, I think they were just like, Star Wars can stand in its own.
Turnt 10 years ago was Krunk. Does that make more sense?
I love it.
So if people would have gone to go see Avengers and get surprised by a Star Wars trailer, if this was 2003, before 2003, they would have been crunk. Like, they would have been
burning down the building.
Right. And now they would be turnt.
Oh, okay. Besides that, there was no really any good trailers.
There were some bad trailers.
I was shocked. Yeah. I'm thinking, Avengers 2, you're really going to pull out your A-game.
Although, I will say, the Ryan Reynolds Mandarin trailer...
I'm not interested.
Nah.
It went somewhere where I didn't think it was going to go at first. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Is this parent swap or some fucking shit like that or whatever? Freaky Friday where they switch and now he's old man, now he's a young guy. And then it went fucking off the rails crazy and he's losing his memories and stuff. And I looked over at our good friend Frank and I go, I am a teacher.
San Andreas.
Oh my god.
And when I looked over and said, Fast 8 looks weird. They're in boats? They're in helicopters now?
But that is the rockiest rock movie I think that he's made so far.
Dude, I think yeah, he does this shit on purpose. Like, he's like, I'm gonna make some really bad movies and people are gonna, because I watched Hercules. Holy shit, that movie's horrible. It's bad.
I tell you what though, if in some point during the scene he would have rock bottomed somebody, or if he would have, or like the
people's eyebrow,
San Andreas goes crazy because he does the people's elbow on it, I would go see it. I would have been turned if that would have happened. If he would have pulled his elbow pad off and then threw it and then fucking just right on San Andreas' fault. And then goes
ballistic. I could have swore I saw a scene. He did do the people's eyebrow when he's in a helicopter.
I don't think he can't not do the people's eyebrow.
And he looked over and some chick's like running off a building that's about to collapse. Never mind, everyone else is dying in the building. But that
Who was his daughter?
It wasn't that old chick that he saved. I don't think so.
No, whoever was playing his daughter, she's a unique, attractive young lady.
Well, I just thought it was interesting.
Unless she's not of age, and then we're going to edit this out. Check that IMDb for me, Frank. Thanks, buddy.
Hi, I'm Alexander Daddario.
I just thought it was interesting that Fast 7 has him with this little girl, and then he goes over to San Andreas, and all of a sudden he's got a full-grown woman as his daughter. So he's kind of playing fast and loose with his age, and he can get away with it, I think.
Yeah.
He's pushing fucking 50, though.
Is he?
Yeah.
Wow.
The one thing I do like, too, is that they're always doing these movies where doing these feats of strength where it's like, oh, I'm going to try to burst this open. And he's the one guy who's big enough where it's like, okay, maybe you can burst this thing open that, you know, with his inhuman strength that no one else could believe anyone would have.
Hey, believable. He's almost like a Wonder Man. Tell me that doesn't look like a movie Wonder Man would have been in the comic books.
I think you have to have the hair.
Yeah, the hair.
Because him with a wig is a bad thing.
I always thought he looked more like Ares. I thought he could pull off Ares. Big axe, helmet, just start swinging axe around at everybody.
Dinah Lance is a fighter, and her one-woman war is against the czars of crime, the frightened men who dread the blonde bombshell, otherwise known as Black Canary. Writer Robert Kaniger and artist Carmine Infantino created Black Canary in 1947. She debuted as a masked femme fatale that kind of skirted the law, but pretty quickly she evolved into a civic-minded crime fighter. She has mastered multiple martial arts disciplines and unarmed combat forms. Her canary cry, when properly focused, is powerful enough to punch a hole through a wall. Black Canary has, in one form or another, been part of multiple incarnations of the Justice League, the Justice Society, and Birds of Prey. I freaking fell in love with Black Canary, and I'm proud to podcast about her adventures in comics and television. Flowers and Fishnets, a Black Canary podcast.
Oh, top 10?
Top 10 cinematic Avengers.
Aw, that's not fair, dude. There's only been two movies.
No, the top 10 cinematic Avengers. Remember, almost everybody that's been in a Marvel movie that's a superhero is now an Avenger. All the sidekicks are Avengers now.
Okay, well then I'm going to be biased. I'll put Hulk number one.
Are you going to start from the front, front to back? Okay. Yeah.
Hulk one. Beast two.
Wait, Beast? Yeah, no. Marvel Cinematic
Burn.
Universe.
No, sick Burn on your list. He gets to count Beast. He's an Avenger and he's in the movies.
Yeah.
No, Cinematic Universe.
He said Cinematic Avenger. Okay, whatever.
Oh, fuck, dude. Then movies that have already been made, or?
Yes.
So it can't be future movies?
No.
There's not a whole lot then.
I know, there's only like 12 of them. I made it fucking easy for you. Rank them.
No, it's not really a ranking, then just pick them. Okay, so.
And then, besides that, are
Hulk,
you seriously.
Cap, Iron
just,
Man.
Just one thing, too. Seriously, the cinematic Beast you think would be your number two Avenger? The cinematic Beast? The guy played by the About a Boy dude and fucking Frasier? That's your number two Avenger?
I thought he pulled off Beast pretty well.
So you like that better than Iron Man? You had Beast as number two. Yes, you did. Hulk and then Beast is what you said.
Yeah, I liked Beast, dude. I do.
Like Beast better than Iron Man. You want to see that Beast movie franchise. You
I've seen Iron Man enough times.
You're out of the podcast.
You're out of the
podcast. We're done. I'm just going to pause this now.
That's fine.
No.
I think it's an unfair
Marvel Cinematic Universe top 10. Number one's the Hulk, because you like the Hulk so much.
I'm trying to think what fucking Avengers have been in other movies.
Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, Falcon, War Machine, Black Widow,
The Avengers movie.
He's saying rank them. Yeah, but rank them. Which ones do you like and which ones do not like?
Okay, so if I'm going to have to rank them, of course, it'd be Hulk, Cap next, Iron Man.
Whoa, Cap above Iron Man? Seriously? Yeah.
There's something about Cap, dude. He's unshakable in his faith, in his belief. Like, Iron Man will drink and he'll fucking fall apart and he'll pick himself. Cap, you can't shake him. You smash him and he can take a beating and just keeps coming at you. So I respect that. Iron Man is just because of the way Robert Downey Jr. plays him. I think I don't know if I could read him in a book. I've never really read Iron Man comics.
We're talking about Cinematic Universe, so don't worry about it.
Okay, so, but and being portrayed on a film, I thought Robert Downey Jr. does an amazing job every time. Except for maybe Iron Man 3, I gotta agree, kind of weak. I would say next, I would have to go definitely Hawkeye. I really do. I've because
after this movie,
obviously, Hawkeye stepped up. I figured this movie would affect the ratings.
So. Then Nick Fury. Has he ever been an Avenger?
Yeah, I count him. I count him, sure.
Okay, Nick Fury. So what is that at? Where am I at?
Five.
Okay, so I got five more. Well, definitely War Machine. War Machine's been fun.
Thor is dropping.
Yeah, I guess I would put Thor right after War Machine.
Well, right off the bat, though, you're putting Thor after War Machine.
Well, because he's a god, but really in the movies, he hasn't really done anything godly yet. He's thrown lightning bolts. Yeah, Storm does that, too.
Surprisingly unimpressive.
Yeah.
I mean,
I really expect some real shit from him, even his own films. Okay, so I got Black Widow left. Got twins. Oh, the Vision. You know, I'm sorry. I put the Vision right after Thor. Because he hasn't really done anything to really blow me away yet, but he visually was very cool.
Yeah.
So where am I at? Eight?
Yeah.
So I got two left. Ooh, that's a hard one because I got, three?
You got Falcon. You got the twins.
Black Widow.
Maria Hill, obviously.
If you rank Maria Hill, you're out of the podcast. 110%.
I would probably put Black Widow with my 9.
Poor
10.
Black Widow. She's really low on your list. Why is she so low on your list?
I just don't find her as an engaging character as I thought it would. Like, I get she helps the plot.
She probably would have been 11 before this movie, and maybe with the flashbacks, she creeped up a little more.
Yeah, no, she definitely creeped up. The flashbacks were neat. That, to me, added layers to her, but up to now, really, it's just like a femme fatale. Like, who she could be replaced with fucking Elektra or Typhoid
Mockingbird.
Yeah, there was nothing really
that made her. Mockingbird's really fucking cool on the shield, by the way.
What I've seen so far, yeah. She kind of looks like what a Mockingbird would be. The
sucks.
Character.
Hawkeye's
yeah, and plus she's not in the. Wait,
you
know, the TV
you can never
count?
Link her.
Yeah.
But
you can't count Mockingbird, though, because she's not in the Avengers.
Well, she is an Avenger, though, ain't she?
In
West
the
Coast.
Comics, but no.
In the comics, but
cinematic
not the
cinematic universe.
Cinematic, okay. So I guess mine, the last one that's. We got the twins.
Not Quicksilver, because she didn't seem to like Quicksilver that much. Falcon.
Falcon was actually kind of annoying. Like, I guess he just isn't flushed out very well. Dude with a backpack with wings. I mean, nothing real special there.
I agree.
I have to go with Quicksilver.
Over Scarlet Witch?
Yeah. She just wasn't... I know y'all would... I guess y'all saw more in her than I did. I just didn't feel she was developed very much. She's, you know, Stevie Nicks doing her weird shit, and you see weird shit. At least, you know, Max said, you know, the AK-47 shot, and, you know, he was the aggressor. He was the one that was ready to take the fight, where she's kind of more the... She would stand back, she would have visions, and this and that. So, I guess that would be my picks.
Okay. The siblings. They called them twins, but then the movie says... What did the Quicksilver ever say he was 12
yeah he said
older?
I'm 12 minutes older.
12 minutes older. Okay, so they were twins then.
Yeah.
And then it also sets up this thing, huh?
Were in the Avengers in the comic book world, were they twins?
I want to say they were, weren't they?
It sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because you do realize in the X-Men world, Quicksilver's older than his sister, because there's a scene at the end whenever Magneto's doing his speech and they show Quicksilver holding his sister, and of course she's way younger than he is.
I honest to God, I completely missed that.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that was supposed to be the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that was intentional either. It might have just been because I'm not sure if Fox has rights to Scarlet Witch. I know they have the rights to Quicksilver because they have the rights to the X Factor characters, but since Scarlet Witch has pretty exclusively been an Avenger aside from the times when she was a villain in the early issues of X-Men, I don't know if they have the rights to use that character or not.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember I've seen a movie a couple times and I always thought that was strange that she was a child there, and we see in this movie they call them twins. I'm thinking, okay, well, the only contact I have with Scarlet Witch is whenever she did No More Mutants, and then we had the No More Mutant world for a while there.
Oh, House of M.
House of M. That's I've
which is
never...
another thing that Matt completely missed out on. He was gone. Well,
that was actually
House
pretty
of
decent.
M.
That was pretty decent. I liked the Hulk in that one. He hung out with the Aborigines.
Just to let you know, Mac, what it was is, I don't know, how was House of M created?
She found out her kids didn't really exist. Her kids were like figments of her imagination that her and the Vision, you know, got busy.
That's
I thought that was a long time ago, though.
Is it? I thought that was part of, her mind was fractured.
Well, anyway, in House of M, what happened is, through whatever means that we don't remember, mutants took over the Earth, and they were the dominant species on Earth in this alternate timeline. But at the end of that, Scarlet Witch was convinced to do the whole No More Mutants thing, which caused the event Decimation, where only a few hundred mutants were left on Earth for a while.
187.
Okay.
Well, but you got to remember, building up to that, Grant Morrison and them were doing the X-Men, and there was mutants popping up everywhere. There was mutant artwork, mutant music, mutant club. So they kind of saturated the world where the world was 50% mutant and human.
They were trying to rein in all the stuff that Grant Morrison did, basically.
Yeah, I think that's what they were trying to do. Because
that was something that Grant Morrison fans were complaining about, is after he left X-Men, it seemed like Marvel had a mission to backpedal on everything that Grant Morrison had done during his run.
Yeah, but it was cool.
Okay, so anyhow, tangent.
We do it a lot.
Obviously, the people who create comic books want you to read the things. Comic books aren't meant to be precious. They're pop art. They're junk culture. But they're our culture. If you're listening to this podcast, it's your culture. Most people, when they talk about comic books, they're talking about the so-called Big Two, Marvel Comics and DC Comics. It strikes us, though, that the entire comic book industry is undervalued by the general public. As comic aficionados, we'd like to have a podcast out there that covers the entire rest of the industry, and for that purpose, we will be your underguides.
If you're sitting around and you find yourself bitching about comic books all the time and how comic books suck and how back in your day comic books were good, take a listen to the underguides, and you'll maybe open up a little doorway to some independent comic books that you hadn't read before. It doesn't have Spider-Man in it, or a Wolverine, or a Green Lantern in it, but it talks about people's lives and stuff, and sometimes you can identify with. If you're wondering where all the good writers and stuff went that don't write your comic books anymore, they're making independent stuff, so maybe we may cover it, and you may find something you can go check out.
And then for me...
Hey, Frank, what's your top 10 list, buddy? The Marvel Superhero Blog team up.
That's right. We went up and dug out Harry Carey for this portion.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Frank. I don't even know Harry Carey. I just know Will Ferrell's impression of Harry Carey.
Really? You've never watched
I have. But I think everybody just does the impression that Will Ferrell does.
I never realized
it's easier to emulate Will Ferrell than it is to emulate
See,
Harry.
Also...
Well, you know what
hey.
Well, you know what they say.
Hey, tell us your top 10 list.
After the person dies, it's always better to remember the legend. So
cool.
So I'm gonna do the top 10 worst Avengers, and I cheated like a motherfucker all over this thing.
Well, apparently, fucking actually got to pick. Sit there and think about it, you asshole.
Hell yeah. Well, he had.
It's his podcast. He gets to do whatever the fuck he wants.
Right. I got special stuff.
No, I did warn Illegal Machine about his top 10 list.
You didn't warn me.
No, that's not true.
I didn't warn you because I couldn't, because you had to see the Avengers first.
That's not true. We tossed around like 15 different top 10 ideas. I didn't realize that was going to be the one that we did.
Wait, is this the one that goes with the rest of the group?
Yeah. To see what happens, though. Okay.
I want to do a new one.
My top 10 worst
release
Avengers.
It as like a Thursday. Just put this together as like a Thursday.
I'm thinking about it. So anyway, number 10, the very concept of an honorary Avenger. Also, the very concept of an honorary Justice League member. I fucking hate how all the Guardians of the Galaxy are honorary Avengers. Rick Jones is an honorary Avenger. It's like
Quasar.
You always have to... actually, he was a
BJ and the bear looking motherfucker.
Wait a minute. Hasn't technically everyone in the Marvel Universe been an Avenger?
Yes.
Pretty goddamn
so
near, yeah. So I just hate that concept. Because you always have to mention all these honorary guys. And if you think about it, an honorarium, it's meaningless. Elvis Presley was an honorary member of, like, I don't know, the CIA or some
FBI.
Shit. Steven Seagal is an honorary member of some Arizona police force. No, you're not. You're fucking Steven Seagal. Shut the fuck up.
Which is way more badass than the police force, right? Yeah. But go ahead, continue.
So, so I hate that concept. No more honorary Avengers. No more. Anytime you bring up the Avengers, you shouldn't have to bring up these honorary Avengers because they suck. Number 9, the forgotten one. Because everybody fucking forgets that guy was ever an Avenger.
I don't even know what the fuck he was.
Doesn't he get points for his name being exactly what he's like?
Yeah. Well, no. He was an obscure Eternal, okay? Yeah. I can barely name any of the Eternals, and he's an obscure member of the Eternals. He's one of those guys, and you have this a lot with the Avengers and a lot with super teams, where you've got a writer who is a fan of one particular book, and so they pull like some character that nobody gives a shit about, that nobody ever heard of, and they put them in the big team book to give them greater exposure.
Like Patsy Walker.
Okay, sure. It's so arbitrary. It's so much a fanficky kind of thing to do. You know, this guy never amounted to anything. He's best known for being the guy that nobody ever remembers as an Avenger. So I hate those types of characters getting thrown onto super teams. If you're an Avenger, you should fucking earn it. If you're in a leaguer, you should fucking earn it. Number 8, Human Torch 1. The Golden Age Human Torch.
Android.
Because you open that fucking door to all that shit with the Vision, where it's totally overcomplicated. It convolutes everything. There's no reason for the Golden Age Human Torch to be Avenger. It just opens up some doors that don't need to be open. It makes everything too fucking complicated. Just explaining why he became an Avenger, because he's supposed to have been the first body of the Vision or some shit like that. I don't even fucking know. I'm pretty hardcore into this stuff, so I just hate that. Number seven, Mantis.
Yeah. I know he's okay.
Mantis, right off the bat, you have to explain to people that she's a Vietnamese alien barmaid, prostitute, celestial Madonna, who married a plant man, dead version of swordsman.
I think that's Nicki Minaj's origin, too.
And she's like the best representation of a lot of gross, fucked up racial issues, sexual issues with the Avengers.
Definitely Nicki Minaj.
Guys like Rage. Guys like Rage and Triathlon and Silverclaw. These are characters.
2 Chainz.
Should never have been Avengers. It was just some writer with a really bad idea. You know, Silverclaw, what's her thing? She could turn in the bestial... She has the bestial powers of only the animals from her particular nation. What the fuck? Get the fuck out of my Avengers team. I just hate that shit. Triathlon, he existed because Kurt Busiek had to do an extended story where he had a analog for Scientology. And Triathlon himself, besides having a hideous costume, he's the guy who has his like the power of 3 dudes. No. That's not enough to be a fucking Avenger, okay?
I believe he went on to have a great career in adult films.
Number six, Doctor Strange.
What?
Not Kurt Busiek, Triathlon.
Doctor Strange, number six. Because Doctor Strange, for starters, the Defenders. I wish that I hate that everybody's an Avenger nowadays. And Doctor Strange was a Defender. The reason why the Defenders team existed is because they had put 4 guys together. Doctor Strange, the Hulk, Silver Surfer, and Submariner, who had no business being on any other teams. They're too powerful. They're too unwieldy. They're just too out there. And so the only way they could work is if you smush them all together onto one team. Some guys are outsiders. Some guys just don't fit the mold. They don't fit as the core, as part of that core super team. Doctor Strange is just too weird of a dude. He's a guy who should be on his own, or he should be in a weird collection like the Defenders. When you bring him in the Avengers, you make him weaker, and you make the Avengers seem like they don't have anything you like. They already had their own Doctor Strange. They had Dr. Druid.
Yeah,
the whole reason for Dr. Druid to exist is he's the Doctor Strange of the Avengers. So use him. Do what you want to do with him. You don't need the actual Doctor Strange on your Avengers because he doesn't work anyway. He's way too powerful, and the types of adventures he have, the Avengers don't suit. They're not into all the kind of psychedelic shit that he's into. Number five, Daredevil. Because Daredevil is a blind guy with ninja skills who defends Hell's Kitchen. And when you put him on a super team, it's like, what the hell is this random vigilante guy without very impressive powers doing in the fucking Avengers? And how do you ruin that character? How do you resolve Frank Miller's Daredevil with the cosmic scope of the Avengers? It just doesn't fucking work. You ruin Daredevil stories because why doesn't Daredevil call the Avengers for such and such? Because he's too fucking small time and he doesn't have their number. He's just Daredevil. So it ruins the character by having him be an Avenger. Number four, Mr. Fantastic, because the only reason the Fantastic, he has his team. He's on the Fantastic Four. Anybody else in the Fantastic Four can be an Avenger, sure, whatever. You want Thing to be an Avenger for a while? Fine. But Mr. Fantastic is the Fantastic Four.
It's
named after him, basically, yeah. If he needs a team, he's going to gather 3 other guys, and they're his team. He has no business being an Avenger. He's the one guy.
He can't count to five. He can only count to four. Yeah.
He doesn't really have any charisma either. He doesn't have a good reason to exist if he's not a member of the Fantastic Four. And the Fantastic Four don't have a reason to exist without Mr. Fantastic in it because he's the driving force of that team. You can't just have him go off and be on another
team.
It's like
Professor X being on the Fantastic Four. Professor X.
They're called the X-Men, okay? Number three, everybody who's been an Avenger since 2012. Because everybody's been an Avenger since 2012. Jonathan Hickman's brought in fuckers from fucking New Universe to be members of the Justice League. Actually, he's brought in analogs of the Justice League into the Avengers. Like, the analog teams are in there. Everybody's a fucking Avenger. You got Avengers AI, which is nothing but robots, and the Vision's a part of that team. You got the fucking Mighty Avengers, which is the ethnic group. Number two, Wolverine.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say.
Because what the fuck is Wolverine doing in the Avengers?
Because mutant.
Yeah, he's a murderer. He's a fucking, he's a dirty, scummy, creepy dude. He's a little midget, hairy guy. He's supposed to be in the X-Men. He's supposed to represent this minority group that everybody hates and nobody wants anything to do with. And because he's a criminal, so he's got no business being the Avengers. If he's going to have friction with the straight-laced guy on his team, it's supposed to be Cyclops, not Captain America. And Wolverine's in every fucking thing. Let somebody just be an Avenger. Let Hawkeye be the Wolverine of the Avengers, because that's what he was doing before Wolverine was even created. And finally, the number one worst Avenger of all time is goddamn Spider-Man. Spider-Man ruins the Avengers because his whole point is he's supposed to be the outsider. He's the guy who teams up with everybody, but he's not a member of anybody's team because he's the fucking nerd. That's part of his essential appeal. He's the everyman. He's not the guy who ever gets to graduate to be an Avenger. And once the Avengers take him on, it means they've taken on the scrub, the guy that everybody's supposed to be kind of distrustful of, the kind of creepy, weird, nerdy guy. Every time you have an Avengers team with Spider-Man in it, it's Spider-Man and his amazing friends. They stop being Avengers. They just become secondary characters to one of those popular heroes in the world, and you ruin Spider-Man by having him an Avenger because it betrays the basic concept of the character. Both groups are diminished by the association. It ruins them. It's not special to be an Avenger anymore, and you're not special to be Spider-Man anymore because he's just like every other Marvel superhero. He's a fucking Avenger.
Yeah. Well, and the bottom line is, look, Avengers are kind of... The thing about the Avengers is a lot of those characters have never been strong on their own. Guys like Spider-Man don't need a team book.
Yeah, true.
Spider-Man doesn't need a team book, and the Avengers is the essential team book. That's what it is. You know, you take your Iron Man, your Thor's, your Captain America's, and their solo series have never been that strong, but you put them in the Avengers and, whoa, shit, like now they're in the Avengers.
Yeah.
Spider-Man doesn't fucking need this shit. Spider-Man has a whole life going on that can be explored. It diminishes the team and it diminishes Spider-Man in a way.
Well, and also it makes the Avengers the Justice League. That's one of the reasons why I hated Brian Bendis doing his, because he was obviously ripping off JLA. JLA had been hugely successful because they brought back the original founding seven members of the Justice League, their most popular DC heroes of all time, all on one team. But the problem is, whenever you have a JLA, they're the super friends. You can't do anything with any of those characters because all those characters belongs to other editors with their own agendas.
Yeah.
Where the Avengers, what makes that a great team is that the majority of the Avengers are owned by the book, the Avengers, and so they can have relationships with each other, they can hate each other, people can die, and yeah, you've got a guy like Cap or Iron Man in there that you know is relatively safe, but you still get to watch them bounce off those other characters, and you see other people react to them, so there's a dynamic there. When you've got nothing but icons, when you've got nothing but Wolverines and Spider-Mans and the Avengers, then you can't do anything really that interesting with them.
Yeah, it's like Spider-Man shows up and everybody's like, where the fuck is Mary Jane? How can he be out fighting people in some cosmic... Why is he fighting the Shi'ar? Where's Mary Jane at, right? Like, you know, it's like, well, yeah, because Spider-Man's got five books that he's supporting on his own, right? Mm. Iron Man's got the one, so you've only got the one storyline. Spider-Man's got five books that are allegedly on hold while he's in the Avengers doing something. Your list is flawed because Teen Tony wasn't on it. Drop microphone. Teen Tony from The Crossing right before he... It's when shit got so bad. That was when they were like, we need to cancel all of these books. Get Jim Lee, Rob Liefeld, Wills Portacio, all these guys in here, and restart all these books from scratch because it's gotten so bad.
Yeah.
They killed off Iron Man and they resurrected him as a teenager. It's
no, actually what happened is Iron Man turned evil and murderous, so they traveled back through time and got an earlier version of Iron Man to fight Iron Man. Old Iron Man ripped the heart out of teen Iron Man, so teen Iron Man had to get a replacement heart. And then Iron Man got killed saving the Avengers because Kang. Then everything gets canceled because it's all terrible.
Because it was
a ripoff of the Parallax story arc from Green Lantern anyway.
See, if they had made that Avengers movie, I would have believed what you were just saying. Movie's dead in water.
Teen Tony's bad. It was a low point in Marvel Comics.
But Jim Chung did become a really acclaimed Marvel artist years later.
Yeah, from what I understand, that's true.
But at that time, he fucking sucked.
Really bad.
And he was that shithead from some Valiant book, right?
Yeah.
I got a bad feeling about this.
You'd be feeling a lot better, Han, if you were listening to Dead Boffin Spies, a Star Wars podcast hosted by me, Ryan Daly.
That doesn't sound too hard.
It's not hard. You just check out Dead Boffin Spies on iTunes, Facebook, or the blog page, deadboffinspies.blogspot.com.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
Well, I don't know if terror is an appropriate description. It's a podcast that combines everything you love about me talking and some of what you love about Star Wars.
I want to learn the ways of the Force and become a Jedi like my father.
Fine, whatever. Do that after you listen to Dead Boffin Spies.
Yoda. You seek Yoda.
No, you seek Dead Boffin Spies, a Star Wars podcast. Check it out. It beats kissing a Wookiee, I would think.
Okay, so here's I don't know if we can wrap it up on this or not. Financially, how's this film going to do?
It's going to be bigger than the first one. And it's going to be bigger than Furious 7.
Billion. Easy.
Oh, it's going to go 1.5 billion, given.
You think so?
You think it's going to?
Yes. Because I think it's just like with Furious 7. Furious 7 isn't making that money because of the movie that's on the screens right now. It's making that money because of how much people enjoyed 5 and 6, or it's sometimes going all the way back to 1. Well, so many people love the Avengers, and so many people discovered the Avengers after it was out of the theaters. And there's nothing competing with Avengers right now. Furious 7's been out for a long while. What, Mad Max going to bite into it? I don't think so. Maybe, no. Maybe. But not, I think it's going to make a ton of money, and I think it's going to be bigger than...
I went to the Marvel Experience. Anything. There are so many kids who are not going to see this movie once. Not twice. I can see 3-4 times dragging their parents to see it. And the parents are going to take it.
Well, and it's so busy, you kind of have to see it more than once just to understand, really appreciate what's going on the screen.
I'm
going to
call my shot here.
Okay.
I think it's going to destroy every opening weekend record on Earth, on planet Earth. It's going to just explode. I think it's going to taper off way faster than Avengers did. And it may make enough money because it's in so many more theaters and so many more people are going to see it. It's going to start higher when that decline starts. So it may pass Avengers 1 just, and you know, we have inflation and it's bigger overseas than the original Avengers was too. I'm not saying it's not going to break Avengers 1's record. I think the studio is going to be a little disappointed with it.
It may finish.
I'm saying I think they've got, okay, so working in business, you got two numbers. You got the number you want people to see, you think it's going to do, and then you've got your in-house forecasts and what you're like, this shit better do this. We're not going to tell Wall Street this. This is what we're going to give Wall Street, the conservative number that's better than last year and is attainable realistically, and I think it's going to realistically attain that goal. And you're going to be like, shit, Avengers 1 made 1.3 and we hit 1.5, 1.6. Disney's got a number that they want. They want 2. I don't think it's going to get to 2. I think they thought with all of this buildup, we got a fucking television show building it up. We had Avengers 1. We got Winter Soldier. We had all this stuff. If you don't destroy Avengers 1 in-house, it's going to... People are going to get a talking to. What did we fuck up? They're going to look at Avengers 2 and think, what did we screw up with this movie? And not being like, this was so good, how are we going to make it even better? They're going to look at it and be like, you know what? This movie did not get quite the reaction they thought.
No, I think what's going to happen is this. Disney's going to look at it, and it's going to destroy. And they're going to realize, we have a franchise now. We got 2 more movies, and we got a bunch of little movies that we can tailor off of that. What's our next step after that? Because this golden goose is going to run out of eggs. So we got to figure out what's next. What's phase 5 after all these movies are done? And I think a lot of those little movies are going to be tailored for the next phase that they won't discuss until after the Infinity.
I think they've already done that.
They got this shit mapped out.
But I
don't think they're ever going to get to a point where they're like, well, it didn't make... No, they're going to say, okay, it made so much money now. So we expect these other movies to either step up. Because I know they're going to look at the movies. They're going to say, okay, a Black Panther movie is not going to make as much money as Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Of course.
We know that. So Guardians is going to have to make this much more money so that Black Panther can float right. But we need Black Panther because we need it for Phase 5. We're going to introduce characters here. We want to do a sequel to it. We need this movie to make this. I think that's how they're looking. All these movies are stacking on top of each other, building.
Yeah, but to me, that's separate from what I'm saying. I'm not saying the movie's going to not make... I'm not going to say the movie's a bomb. I'm not going to say the movie isn't going to hit the numbers they want. I'm not saying the movie's not going to make records. I'm saying I think it's going to make them flinch a bit. That it's not going to be a failure.
I feel about Ant-Man about that one.
And that leads to my next point. I think it's going to get followed up by Ant-Man, and I think Ant-Man's going to take another shot. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of the plans they have change just a bit after Avengers 2 and Ant-Man both maybe stumble a bit. And I know stumble is not the right word to use with a movie I just said is going to make $1.5 billion. But I think internally, people are going to be looking at the reaction to this film, and no matter how much money it makes, they're going to say, I think we might have screwed something up. Like, maybe we had too many characters. Maybe...
Well, no, because they've shaved out a lot of those characters.
Well, and I know that Joss is gone, so that they don't even give a shit about... I would think that if he was coming on to do a third and fourth one, they would maybe look at Avengers 2 and be like, damn, maybe Joss has blown his, you know, he's not blown his load. His salvo has been dropped. Maybe he's done, and we need to go. But luckily, they're moving on from him, so I'm not saying... That's all I'm saying.
But I think that's more a smart idea because, you know, what happens when you have the same creator on the book for too long?
No, I know. Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's not a smart idea. And those dudes, did a very good job with Winter Soldier, so that's... I'm thinking this movie, just from the reaction I'm seeing, I think you're going to see the percentage, when you saw the percentage drop from Avengers from week 1 to week 2, it's going to be bigger.
But see,
for Avengers
right now,
2, it's just starting higher.
Right now, there's this kind of anti-superhero view of the movies, because I've read a lot of the reviews, and a lot of the reviews, if you read them,
it's Starbucks syndrome.
Yeah,
everybody likes Starbucks because it's underground and it's hip and it's hipster, and then because of that, Starbucks gets popular, and now it becomes popular to hate Starbucks, right?
Yeah.
Now nobody wants to like the Avengers because you know what? First Avengers wasn't even all that good anyway. I've seen a shit ton of that.
Because the one I can remember is from the writer of the USA Today review, and he's like, just to give you an idea, the beginning has something to do with dreams and a dragon, and I'm sitting there thinking, dreams and a dragon, like, what the fuck is he talking about? Then we watch the movie and I'm like, oh, you mean the monster the Chitauri travel beast from the first one, the dragon, and those aren't really dreams, more like visions. I'm like, I could see where he doesn't get it. To him a movie is watching some pretentious film of,
yeah, I don't know. And a lot of critics are tired of the Marvel schematic.
Yeah, I think they're just, because it's so hyped. It gets a lot of hype.
Yeah.
And like you said, it becomes cool to hate. It's cool to hate what's popular at the time, because then you're the cool guy, because you're not going with the flow.
Well, but I think there's a distinction, because like I hated Dark Knight, right? But to me, I thought Dark Knight was getting thought too much of itself. I thought that it was trying to be... Avengers 2 is not trying to take itself seriously, and it doesn't want you to take it seriously. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People are judging it like this is supposed to be Citizen Kane. Avengers has never pretended to be a serious... No, that we're going to take...
They're
just trying to take a crazy, out of control action movie to a different level. That's all they're trying to do. But I think people are going into it like, oh, here we go, you're going to blow up another city. More guys in costumes are going to punch other guys in costumes. I don't want to get into that too much because
it was funny, because I think they asked that to Chris Evans and them, and he was like, you do realize they've been making these movies since the 70s. Like, Superman came out, and he was like, talking about like these movies have always been around, and because I think they kind of posted the same question of like, don't you feel like a backlash of how people feel about the movie? And he's like, dude, this has been around since like the 70s. Like, they're never going away. If you go back, I mean, people were making movies about Hercules. He's a superhero. Greek superhero. I mean, so I think this movie's going to destroy, and Disney's going to be very happy with the returns, especially when it hits DVD and Blu-ray. Oh, they're going to make stupid money.
They're going to make a lot of money.
Because they're going to release the DVD version. The Blu-ray DVD. The Blu-ray DVD 3D.
Marvel hasn't done that very... Marvel hasn't done all these like enhanced editions and shit. They don't.
Disney does that.
Disney, but you've not seen that with the Marvel movies. And Disney's owned Marvel for most of the life of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I don't see that happening.
Well, I remember going to Walmart and seeing a DVD version, the Blu-ray DVD, the Blu-ray DVD digital 3D, like four versions of the same movie. And I remember thinking, well, what's the big deal? It's the same movie. And then, of course, when you read the back, the DVD, nothing, bare bones. The Blu-ray, you get some commentary. The 3D one comes with extra commentary and like the character development. And I mean, they go for the collector. The collector who's got to have everything on it, but then wants the different box. And
But that's sort of industry-wide. That's gonna
sell a lot.
I know.
DVDs.
It's gonna make a lot of money. It's gonna make a lot of money.
I believe that Mr. Fix is closer to what's going to happen. I think that we're not just looking at the sequel to the Avengers. We're looking at the sequel to Guardians of the Galaxy. We're looking at the sequel to the Winter Soldier. One of the reasons why the Marvel movies have been so successful is it's all one giant Uber franchise. It's never been done before, and it's amazing how successful they've been able to do that creatively, much less financially. I think that this is going to do a minimum of $1.75 billion. I think it may end up becoming the biggest movie in box office history, not because I think it deserves it, but Avatar did that.
Yeah.
This is a better movie than Avatar. It's a movie that I think plays extremely well to mainstream audiences. While I recognize that there's a lot of instances where people kind of feel pushed aside, where they don't get the jokes, where they might be a little bit alienated, there's so many gags, there's so many strong visuals, this plays so well internationally because they can stick in whatever the jokes they want to for the international audiences, and the visuals alone can carry the movie so well. I will be surprised, and it may be a situation where Legal Machine's right, where maybe they think it's going to be the biggest movie of all time, and it isn't. But it's going to be one of the top five biggest movies of all time, period.
Yeah.
And I think that because of what we've seen with Critical Mass in terms of financial growth, in terms of something like Furious 7, if Furious 7's boasting $1 billion now, the target's got to be $2 billion, you know? And it's doable. And I think that these superhero movies can get to those numbers in a way that most of the movies can't anymore because of pirating and stuff like that. If people prefer to watching in their homes, they're going to. But with these superhero movies, everybody wants to see them on the big screen. They play well. There's so many guys who have to see it first thing. You got to be out there that first night. So yeah, it probably will be somewhat front loaded. It probably won't have the tail that Avengers had, but it's also got a larger built-in audience than Avengers had. And I do think that this will connect to mainstream viewers. I do think that here's a joke, here's an action beat, here's a joke, here's an action beat. Just that barrage, that raw entertainment value and that raw international flavor. I think it's going to be fucking a $2 billion movie. I think it may become the biggest movie of all time.
I agree with you. It doesn't deserve it, but yeah. Because Fast 7 has pretty much lost steam, hasn't it?
I don't know. It was number one for like 3 weeks.
Okay.
And it was a huge internationally as well. And that's another movie where it's so dumb and so full of strong visuals that internationally it's done extremely well. You cannot underestimate the international audience these days. So much money is being made overseas.
But that's the thing.
And those big action spectacles do so well globally that's why. I mean, remember, it used to be how long it took before they broke $1 billion. And then look at how many movies have broken that just in the last few years.
Yeah. But here's
we're
the
past
thing,
the $1 billion barrier now. This is the kind of movie that's looking at the $2 billion barrier.
When they were announcing where Avengers is ranking overseas, they're like, oh, yeah, it's like third all time in, you know, France. Or it's, you know, in a lot of those countries, it was finishing below Fast 7, which is just, that doesn't seem right to me. That this movie should not be finishing below Fast 7. If Fast 7 is the second largest movie opening of all time in a country, I would assume Avengers coming out 3 weeks later would pass that. But it's not. It's behind Fast 7 in a lot of these countries. That's where something is just not with this movie. It's not blowing the doors off. I'm not sure if
superheroes play as well overseas as cars and stuff. I mean, the Transformers is big robots and cars. I think that plays better to a lot of international audiences. I don't think China is as interested in the Avengers as they are the Transformers.
The best example is Pacific Rim.
It
didn't do great here, but when you went overseas, dude, it was huge.
It's not even overseas. It's China.
Well, Japan
it made
also.
So I don't even know about Japan. I know China, because Japan isn't a big enough movie market. Japan will make the difference between a movie getting greenlit and not greenlit.
We're making a sequel.
But China is such a huge market now, and Pacific Rim did so well, they can sell it to China alone, and it's worth the investment to make Pacific Rim 2. Oh. That's it came down to China. China can make that decision now. If it makes money in China, they're going to make the sequel.
China, who in the WWE dated The Rock.
It's all connected.
Who was in Fast 7. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. You.
Dun, 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 dun. Please export this. If we lose this, I'm going to fucking murder your whole life.
This episode of the podcast is running really, really late. So I'm just going to assume that everybody in our usual Merry Marvel Marching Society retweeted and favorited us again, and I'm just going to rerun the audio from last episode, and if there's any new additions, I'll throw them into next week's episode. How about that? They are Ace and Eights Press, Adam Black Moon, Al Mega First Crusader, Angel Velasquez, Army of Skanks, Ask the Moon, Charlton Hero, Cheryl at Piggy Mouth, Chris Thompson, CJ, Comic Relief Podcast, Comic Syndicate, Comical Podcast, Dead Vinyl, DS and RS, Eric Grundler, Eternal Rage, Fantastiverse, Felicia, Film Reel Podcast, Firestorm Fan, The First Bat, Future Primitive, Hall of Justice at HOJ Comics, Joseph Crawford, Josias Arbello, Kanish Kabbalah, Cord Industries, Land of the Creeps, Lizzo at It's Lizzo, who added, thank you for the shout out, Lord Horsticles, Martin Vincent, Miss Impolitic, Miss Moneypenny, My Star Wars Story, Odell Abner Dracula, Odyssey Unleashed, Orbital Comics, Outside Longbox, Pittsburgh Nerd Podcast, Randy Caldwell, Randy Micah Smith, Richard Calvert, Sir Kayak, Snake Oil Comics, Stephen Courtney, who added, anytime, bud, cheers. Superhero Speak, Senate Alias Scarecrow, The Time Traveler at John Titer 973, Top 5 Road Crew, Uproar Comics, and Ziggy at Mr. Jeff Free. The Marvel Superheroes Podcast is in no way affiliated with or endorsed by Marvel Entertainment. All characters mentioned and audio clips employed are believed covered under fair use, with no infringement intended against their copyright holders. The views expressed in this podcast are assumed legitimate, truthful, and solely possessed by the speaker. The following deleted scene rant from earlier in the episode contains a spoiler for the ending to Marvel's The Avengers: Age of Ultron. If you do not want the ending of the movie spoiled, please stop listening to this recording right about now. Which is another thing that kind of ticked me off. What's nice about the Avengers that they have at the end of Avengers Age of Ultron is that you've got two black guys on that team. You've got several people that are from foreign countries. You've got a good mix of women and men all of a sudden, where before it was all guys and one chick. And they're actual Avengers, where when you create a team of nothing but ethnic Avengers, they're just the Avengers ethnic team. They're diminished. Also, if you're going to have an all-ethnic team of Avengers and Black Panther isn't in it, you've already lost the game because you've missed out the best one you've got.
Jarvis.
Welcome home, son.
I am Iron. You think you're the only superhero in the world? Mr. Stark, you become part of a bigger universe. You just don't know it yet.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Diablo Frank, and he's...
Nick Fury, director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Huh.
We're here to talk to you about the debut of the DC Bloodlines podcast. There's a whole other universe out there to explore. It's available on iTunes.